The next stop in our Scandinavian tour is Norway. Betty had been invited to do a private session one-on-one with a young woman who was pre-orgasmic, and she was on Trekant, which was their number one rated reality show on their MTV equivalent. And we thought it would be wonderful, and I was asked to come and assist. And I was happy to get the Bloody Marys on the flight, pack up bags. And I really thought I was going to be much more of a background person. So I never realized I would be the one on camera, but here's how it happened. The producer, Aslog, picked us up at the hotel, and she was so lovely. And on our way to breakfast, she described how she took the job producing this episode with the express intention of showing a vulva and an orgasm on television. Actually, she had it written into her contract. She fought for it. She lobbied for it. And it was going to happen. And at breakfast, we're eating, and she was talking about how the young woman, who was only like 19, was having cold feet. You can imagine Norway is a small country, and if you're going to go on camera on network television showing your vulva, everyone would know. And as they're describing it, Betty and I kind of made eye contact, and it's not really fair to ask a pre-orgasmic teenager, really, she's 19, to have an orgasm on camera. It's a big ask. And then at a certain point, Aslog looked at me and said, "So would you be willing to go on camera?" And Betty smiled. And I just, again, I didn't think twice, but I said, "Of course, of course." If I'm saying there's no shame in expressing your sexuality, then I have to put my money where my mouth is, don't I? So later that day, she picked us up. We drove out to this little country farmhouse. We walked in, and it was an all-female crew. And that was the only thing I was sweating. Male energy in the room can be a suck. And I wasn't sure if I could pull it off. I mean, at this point, I had never made a sex tape. I never even posed nude. I knew I was going to go to law school and I was going to get into politics, and I knew not to create any sexual imagery. This was a complete shift, and I blame Betty Dodson, because before Betty, I would never have had the self-esteem or the cause to share my sexual self. So we go in this adorable farmhouse, we greet everyone, and we meet the young woman. And again, lovely, nervous, shaking. Knows she's not going to be the one on camera, but physically shaking. You know, shame. Shame's a big one. So we do genital show and tell, which I'd done before with Betty, you know, in the workshop in Copenhagen. So that kind of went through, and there's always a lightness during genital show and tell. Maybe it's the curiosity. So Betty's on one side of me. This young woman is on the other, Johanna. And we're looking at our vulva, and it's fun, and it's light. We broke for lunch, and then we came back, and we were going to do orgasm time, private session. This is it. And I have to say, there is something about, you know, entering a room and seeing a massage table, and then this huge $500,000 camera that's, you know, on a tripod that's going to be right between your legs. It's quite overwhelming. And I couldn't have done it without Betty. I mean, I just looked at her. She grabbed my hand. She said, "You can do this." So imagine the scene. There's the massage table. Betty's on one side and Johanna's on the other. And she is visibly upset and nervous. I mean, you could feel that. I can't imagine being her and pre-orgasmic and have these two Americans roll in and trying to find my place. You're 19, right? So Betty's talking me through the rock and roll. She goes through to start with genital massage. We talk about the importance of oil, right? Well, then we do slow penetration, and she's guiding me, so I don't really have to think, which was wonderful. And then slow penetration. Okay, with your hand, we're going to start the rock and roll. And I just watched, the episode is on Dotson and Ross. If you buy a video subscription, it's under My Orgasm. It's also under our Orgasm Masterclass. And when I rewatched it, it was just, it was divine. Someone was kind of ordering that moment because I had worn this little cream camisole that I could keep on. So it wasn't completely nude. I didn't want to intimidate Johanna. And I didn't even groom. I mean, I didn't plan on this happening. So I didn't bring my razor to groom or my buzzer to groom myself. And, you know, but my grooming was pretty good. It was good enough. But watching Betty guide me with that just gentle, lighthearted assurances all the time. And you can see me tensing up because I'm nervous, right? You know, this is the first time I've been on camera naked and I'm self-penetrating and now I'm stimulating my clitoris to orgasm. And it's just me. I think maybe if you have a sex tape, you can be like, oh, it's my partner and me, and a little bit of the shame comes off you, but it's just you. You're owning it. And at one point, Betty could see I was getting in front of that orgasm. And I started to think, like, what if I can't? What if I'm too nervous? You know, so Betty, the hand on my chest, just stop tensing up. You're tensing. Just relax. Let the orgasm come to you. Relax. And then you see, you know, Johanna's getting, her back is getting stiffer and stiffer as I get closer and closer to orgasm. And Betty at one point says, you know what? I'm going to give you a blindfold. And she put this velvet weighted kind of blindfold over my eyes. And that's exactly what I needed. I could go within. And I'm watching myself build up. And I know my orgasm tells. And you see it building and building and building. And, you know, I was in my 30s. So now at 50, I'm looking at my pelvic floor muscle. And the barbell's going up and down, up and down, up and down. Like my pelvic floor was so, whoo, right there, pre-baby. And you see it going up and down. And then you see me breathing. And you see everything come up. And then, whoo. And Betty's like, stay with it, stay in the afterglow. And then I take off my blindfold and the young woman is looking at me and now she's completely relaxed. You know, I think seeing an orgasm, knowing what it looks like, feeling that wave go through a body, because I mean, they were on either side of me. So you feel that energy. And I just looked at her and I said, that's an orgasm. And then, you know, we packed up and they dropped us off at the hotel and we left the next afternoon. And I remember flying back, dreading having the conversation with my partner because I knew the relationship would be over. I knew who they were and this was never going to fly. And at one point I was probably playing in my mind what I would say, and maybe my mouth was moving a little, you know, when you do that and you're kind of practicing. And Betty just put her hand on my thigh and she said, don't worry, Carlin. Don't worry about any of it. What you did was what needed to be done. And yes, it's changed your life, but only for the better. So when I got back to our apartment, I decided I wasn't even going to tell them there. I had them meet me out for a drink around the corner. And I just described how it happened. And it wasn't planned. And this young woman, you know, was pre-orgasmic and it was unfair. And as I was describing coming to the decision and doing it and describing what was going to be seen, I knew it was over. And I remember what they said to me. They said, well, Carlin, you have to decide. Are you talent or are you a businesswoman? And all that knife went into the heart deep. And we didn't break up immediately, but that was the beginning of the end. And I knew it. And looking back on it now, I'm just so grateful that I had the sense of self and the dedication to female sexual equality that I jumped off the ledge and I didn't think about my relationship. Like, I'm proud of that now. In the moment, I was sad and heartbroken. Absolutely. I mean, this was a real relationship. I really thought we'd have a family together. But that episode, Betty, that all, it saved me. It saved me from a very comfortable life with very little meaning or purpose. 3 months later, Johanna emailed us and said that she'd been practicing the rock and roll and she had had her first orgasm. And Betty and I mean, we're sitting on our computers in her back room, in her bedroom, and we were like, Johanna, yeah. And she shared that on the series of how she got to the orgasm and what toys was she using and how she was stimulating herself. And I just thought of all the young women in Norway. And it became like the top episode. And they replayed it a million times. Not like it played once. They played it forever. And, you know, we were invited back to Norway a year later. And we were doing this lecture, Putting the Vulva on the Map. And afterwards, two sexologists, Elif and Gro, came up and said that they had been called to testify. They actually had hearings to determine whether or not our episode was obscenity or if it was educational. And, you know, Betty and I had no idea. Like, none. We didn't even know this was happening. And maybe that was good. Ignorance is bliss, because we didn't know that people were debating whether or not I was a porn star or an educator. And they determined that it was educational. And then it played a million more times. So it became kind of, I guess, the issue of the moment in Norway, in Norwegian culture, which I think is kind of pretty remarkable as far as, like, I don't know, my legacy and Betty's legacy together. Because I don't think she would have made the trip without me, and I would never have jumped in and done that private session, had an orgasm on camera without Betty. That was the beauty of our relationship. It was so equal. We were better together than apart. When we had gone back a year later, we had a layover in Berlin and we were one of those automated kind of walkways. So we're exhausted and we have our bags and we're standing there. And all of a sudden, all these teens started saying, "Hey, it's Betty and Carlin." And Betty and I looked at each other and I thought, "What? Why are these? How do these kids know us?" And everywhere we went, hordes of young people in Norway were like, "It's Betty and Carlin." People sent us drinks. People took selfies. And it was kind of amazing because we had no idea that we had created this little ripple and they had the hearings on obscenity. We had no idea. And then that it had played. It was kind of like their Janet Jackson Nipplegate. And they replayed it a million times. So it was this little pop of infamy. I don't know what we would call it. But that episode taught me that when you share a vulnerability and you share a truth, no one, like, everyone recognizes that. It speaks to someone because it's so rare that someone puts themselves out there and takes a risk and shows you something real. And you don't have to fear judgment, because when people know it's real and it's pure and it's not coming from a place of ego, that it's coming from a place of welfare and wanting to make the world a better place for womankind, they see it and they know it. And they receive it. It may have cost me a relationship, but it laid the groundwork for our Goop episode, The Pleasure Is Ours. Because when that producer called and said, "Hey, we want to do an episode about female sexuality, and we're not sure, you know, what we should do. What are your thoughts?" And I was in a bad mood. And I pitched them exactly what we did for NRK, scene by scene. And I did it because that way I could get rid of them and I thought I'd never hear from them again. And they called back. And The Pleasure Is Ours, that episode on Netflix, is out there now in the world culture, not just Norway. So Norway was our stepping stone. But never be afraid to put yourself out there and speak a truth. And really, my shame was healed. After that moment, I had no shame with respect to my body or my sexuality. It was mine. I put my clit on the line, literally. It shifted my life in the most beautiful way possible. Thank you, Aschlag. Thank you, Johanna. And thank you, Betty Dodson.